Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom.
We're talking about another thrill seeker today. This guy's name is Dr. John All. Kind of a weird last name, I would say. I've never heard of this name before.
All.
But we've got a lot of different last names in America. We've got a lot of people coming from other countries.
We do.
Who move to our country. So we've got lots of different varieties of names. So this guy, he is a mountain climber. I think I mentioned in one of our lessons this month that I don't like mountain climbing particularly. It's too hard. You have to sweat. And it takes a lot of practice before you can actually go mountain climbing. You have to do a lot of training. This guy was with a research team. We're going to find out what happened to him. He had some physical problems, which is scary. Do you know anything about this guy, Tom?
You mean Mr. All here?
Dr. John All.
Well, I don't know much about him because I don't know if the doctor here refers to a medical doctor or some kind of professor.
He might be a PhD.
I need to know that before I can make any kinds of assessments about the person's quality or character. But in any case, this is about Dr. John All, who is a climate change specialist. So I guess that means he's a professor here. He probably has a PhD from some big hotshot university somewhere, because he's an expert. He's a specialist in climate change, which is all about the world's temperature changing and stuff like that. And he went to Mount Everest fairly recently, and he was climbing Mount Lhotse, or Lhotse, however you want to pronounce it. And it's a mountain very close to Mount Everest on the border between Nepal and Tibet.
Okay, guys, we're going to read through the article and then we'll be back to talk about it. Dr. John All, a climate change specialist, was at Mount Everest Base Camp on April 18, 2014, getting ready to climb Mount Lhotse, Everest's sister peak. While All spent some time getting accustomed to the high altitude, his Sherpa guides went up the mountain to prepare for their climb. Then at 6:45 a.m., an ice avalanche, weighing an estimated 14.3 million kilograms, crashed down the side of Mount Everest. The ice buried 25 Sherpas, killing 16 of them, including one of All's guides. Shortly after the catastrophe, the 2014 climbing season was shut down out of respect for the victims. Only 2 weeks later, All was camped alone on nearby Mount Himlung, waiting for his research team to arrive. One morning, as he was scouting locations for snow samples, he plummeted into a dark, icy crevasse and finally landed on an ice ledge 21 meters below. The fall dislocated his right shoulder blade and broke 16 bones. To make matters worse, he'd left his satellite phone and headlamp back in the tent. For the next 6 hours, All, bleeding internally and struggling to breathe in the oxygen-depleted air, documented his battle to clamber up the dangerous crevasse. Every time he found it too mentally and physically excruciating to continue, All would turn on his camera and reflect on the situation. Although he knew it'd be easier to admit defeat, All eventually scrambled through the hole above. It took an additional 3 hours to crawl back to his tent, where he spent an agonizing night waiting for the rescue helicopter. Incredibly, All was able to record his remarkable luck in surviving not one, but two Himalayan tragedies. To witness his miraculous survival and those of many others for yourself, check out Discovery's Still Alive this November.
Okay, everybody, the time has come for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. And again, we are defying death on Discovery's Still Alive. Remember last time we talked about the two kayakers who kind of had a little bit of a disaster when kayaking in the Hamahama River in the state of Washington.
Not too bad, though, huh?
Yeah, not too bad. They still survived it, okay. But now we're actually going around the world to the Himalayas.
Yeah.
And we've got this one fellow here who is a specialist on climate change. Again, his name is John All, or rather Dr. John All. And he is, again, a climate change specialist. A specialist, of course, is somebody who specializes in something. They are an expert. They kind of specialize in this particular field. He concentrates primarily on this particular subject. So I think he went to Mount Everest or Lhotse there, mountains in Tibet or Nepal, wherever he's starting from here. He's going there to do some scientific research as opposed to actually wanting to climb to the top of these mountains to say, yay, I did it. Aren't I cool?
Yeah, but it's still kind of dangerous, even though he's just doing research. That's just a dangerous part of the world. You get up there and you're on your own kind of thing. So he was getting ready to climb Mount Lhotse. That's Everest's sister peak. A peak is the very tip of the mountain. We call that the peak. While All spent some time getting accustomed to the high altitude, his Sherpa guides went up the mountain to prepare for their climb. So he was still getting accustomed to the high altitude. It's very difficult to breathe if you're not used to being up very, very high. Even when I go to Denver, Colorado, which is much higher than Arizona where I grew up, it takes a little while for me to do any sports, especially if I want to go walking fast or running. I can't breathe very well. You have to get used to it. Altitude is the height of something, how high it is in relation to the sea level or the ground level. And if you get used to something, that's another way to say getting accustomed to. You have to just get used to it. And he was left down lower getting used to breathing in that high altitude while his Sherpa guides went ahead.
I think, actually, I've heard that some Taiwanese athletes go train at Alishan to get accustomed to the high altitude there. There are some actual sports facilities there, so people can get used to being in a place with thinner atmosphere or less oxygen.
Yeah.
So, again, he's getting used to the high altitude, hanging out there, maybe doing a few exercises here and there, getting ready for a climb later on. And then the guides are the people who are taking him up there. They went up the mountain to prepare for the climb. They're already used to these sorts of things, but they went up there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, a disaster struck at 6:45 a.m. in the morning. There was an ice avalanche weighing an estimated 14.3 million kilograms. It crashed down the side of Mount Everest. Of course, they did not expect that to happen.
No.
An avalanche is when a large amount of snow, or as in this case, a large amount of ice, comes tumbling down the mountain. It falls rapidly down a mountainside. And unfortunately, sometimes people get caught in avalanches, you get buried by snow and ice, and you're probably not going to survive because that stuff is really, really heavy.
It is.
And it's very, very cold.
You can't just climb out of it. You can't just crawl or, use your hands to get out. It's heavy.
Somebody's got to dig you out, and they have to do it fast, and they don't know where you are. So if you get caught in an avalanche, you're probably not going to survive.
Yeah, most likely. And there's no warning. You kind of just hear this thunderous sound, and the snow comes down, or the ice in this case, which is even heavier. So this avalanche crashed down the side of Mount Everest. The ice, sadly enough, buried 25 people, probably men. I would say most Sherpas are men. There might be some women, but most Sherpas are guys because they carry heavy equipment. They buried the 25 Sherpas, and it killed 16 of them. So they were able, some of them, to either get out or be dug out before they passed away. Unfortunately, it killed one of All's guides. He must have a couple Sherpas going with him. Shortly, it says, after the catastrophe, the 2014 climbing season was shut down. They closed the mountain, saying nobody else can go this year because we want to do this out of respect for the victims. To show them the respect, they just said no more climbing. We're just going to leave the mountain alone for the rest of the year. A catastrophe, guys, is an event that causes a lot of damage. It's sudden usually, and there's a lot of suffering. It could also be called a disaster. And typically people die in a catastrophe. Scary.
And the adjective is catastrophic. There was a catastrophic earthquake that struck the country this evening. So in any case here, yes, this is a catastrophe. It happened and lots of people died. And, of course, they shut down the climbing season later. I remember when that was on the news.
Yeah.
Lots of people had to have their dreams shattered of climbing Mount Everest. They would have to come and climb another day. Now, only 2 weeks later, All was camped alone on nearby Mount Himlung, waiting for his research team to arrive. So he remained there. Remember, Dr. John All, a climate change specialist, 2 weeks after the catastrophe, 2 weeks after the disaster. He was camped by himself on another mountain here, Mount Himlung, and of course he was waiting for his research team to arrive. Some other people were coming to help him out.
Probably Sherpas, right?
Yeah, probably Sherpas, again, probably coming to help him out with his climate change research on the highest mountains in the world.
So it says, one morning, as he was scouting locations for snow samples, he plummeted into a dark, icy crevasse and finally landed on an ice ledge that was 21 meters below. If you scout an area, it means you go out checking out a new area you're not familiar with, but you're trying to get more familiar with it. We'll often call people who look at these locations scouts. In fact, if you want to work in the movies, you might be a location scout. These guys, their job is to go out and see where they can film a particular scene where it will look the best. Those are location scouts. He was scouting out the mountain because he wanted to get some good snow samples. But unfortunately, as he was scouting out by himself, he plummeted or fell very quickly and very steeply into what we call a dark, icy crevasse. A crevasse is kind of a deep crack in between something. Especially we use it when we're talking about a glacier. So there was a crack that he fell into, which is scary because sometimes you can't be seen if you're in these crevasses. He finally, though, landed on an ice ledge, a part that was sticking out 21 meters below. That's a big drop. We're going to find out what happened to Dr. John All. But first, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们继续来看这个单元。第五单元要谈的是 Still Alive。这个在 Discovery Channel 上面的一个节目。好，我们呢之前已经说过，这真的是一个惊险的记录。而今天这一段文字呢，要告诉大家的是另外一位气候变迁专家他所经历的一个惊险的事件。好，这位专家叫 Dr. John All， 在介绍他的时候呢，他后面说他是一个 A Climate Change Specialist。好，我们晓得这种是一个同位语的用法。当你有一个新的名词，或者是比较大家不懂的名词，那你要进一步的解释，往往就会用逗点在后面隔开，然后呢，用一个同位语的形式来表示。那这句呢，其实再往下读，他又提到说，他当时呢，是在圣母峰的基地扎营，然后准备攀登圣母峰的一个姐妹峰。好，在提到这个姐妹峰的时候，他要说这个姐妹峰它是落子峰，而这个要解释它的又一个是一个同位语，就是 Everest Sister Peak。这个同位语当然就是要解释给大家，它指的是哪一个山峰。好，我们看到再往下，当然这位博士他呢当时是正在花一点时间要适应这个海拔的高度。好，首先看到这里有一个 spent， 当你说花时间做某事，记得后面的动作部分要变成 V-I-N-G， 所以你有看到一个 getting accustomed to。 好，这里的 getting 就是这样来的。当时他是要花一点时间打算习惯这个海拔的高度，而结果不幸就发生了。因为当时呢，圣母峰它呢发生了冰崩。好，这里有一个 ice avalanche， 这个冰崩当然你可以想见，这是一种非常多的冰 有1430万公斤的冰从他的山侧这边给崩落了。好，当时这个事件当然造成了一些夏尔巴人他们被埋没，而且其中有16名罹难。好，他说这16名当中有一位是他自己的向导。现在看到这里咯， including one of our guides。Including 这个字当然它是一个介系词的用法，所以我们知道表示包含什么。好，以前面16个人来说，其中就包含了他自己的一名 guide， 一名向导。好，这个用法请大家注意。接下来我们要来看，这并不表示说他的劫难已经结束了。其实很不巧的，就在2周之后，他呢在一个山区里他独自的扎营。这时候原来是在等他的研究团队抵达，可是这时候又发生什么事呢？ As he was scouting locations for snow samples。 好，我们知道 scout 这本来是童子军，当然 scout 当动词就是有侦查去寻找，那这里是他去寻找采集血样本。当时他在找那个血样本的地点，这时候呢 he plummeted into a dark icy crevasse。 好，注意到这个动词，这个动词 plummet， 我们知道 plummet 这个动词就表示垂直下降，所以当时他掉落的状况可以说直接坠落到这个裂缝当中。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue our lesson. We're talking about Dr. John All. And, we talked about the first catastrophe when there was an avalanche killing all sorts of Sherpas there. But Dr. John All remained in the area to continue to do research. Now he shifted his attention to another mountain nearby. And again, he was waiting for some other members of his team to show up. And he was scouting locations to take some snow samples. And he plummeted, fell quickly into a dark, icy crevasse, and finally landed on an ice ledge. Crevasse here, of course, is a large kind of opening in a glacier. Don't confuse this with the word crevice, which is kind of simple or similar in meaning, but a different spelling, like a crack in rock or something. I think we confuse these words quite often because they do sound similar here, but crevasse is the word we're looking for here. And he landed on an edge, and the fall caused some damage here. It dislocated his right shoulder blade. Dislocate means the bone or the joint
pops out,
basically. That can be quite painful.
Oh!
A dislocated shoulder or something.
That happened to Derek Jeter.
It did.
It did, okay.
And also it broke, 16 bones?
Woo!
In part of his leg, or what was it? It's just 16 bones in his body, basically.
They don't tell us, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot. That's a lot of bones to break as a result of a fall.
Yeah.
So to make matters worse, even worse, he'd left his satellite phone and headlamp back in the tent. So, yeah, he was stuck in this crevasse in a glacier. So things were going from bad to worse. He not only fell, but also he had no satellite phone to call for help. Help, I'm stuck in this crevasse. You got to come and rescue me. Nope, he couldn't do it. And he was also in the dark because he did not have his headlamp, which is basically a light that is mounted on your head.
Well, this is silly. He went out unprepared. You should always go out prepared, even if you think you're going to just be around your tent.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. He wasn't. For the next 6 hours, Dr. John All was bleeding internally. If you're bleeding internally, it means one of the organs inside your body's bleeding. You can't see it. And sometimes people can die because they bleed internally and, you know, then... But no one can see it, so you always should go to the hospital if you have a big fall or something, especially if you hit your head. Sometimes our brains will bleed internally, and that can kill you.
Hmm.
So he was also struggling to breathe. Remember, he's up very high in a high altitude. It says he was in oxygen-depleted air. If something's depleted, it's doesn't have enough of something, right? So it's, there's not enough oxygen in this air that he's trying to breathe. He was in bad shape, but he was a really smart guy. He documented his battle to clamber up the dangerous crevasse. Clamber is a word that we really only use in writing. I've never said it speaking casually ever. It just means you climb or you move, but you do it in kind of an awkward way. Sometimes you're using your hands and you're like crawling up to clamber. I always think of kids climbing up in the kitchen, in the shelves, trying to get cookies, clamber up.
Yeah, and of course it does involve climbing, but it's kind of clumsy and you don't really know what you're doing. So again, he's got a bunch of broken bones, a dislocated shoulder blade. So he's trying to climb up out of this crevasse. He's probably in great pain. And every time he found it too mentally and physically excruciating to continue, all would turn on his camera and reflect on the situation. So yes, indeed, he was finding it mentally excruciating and physically excruciating. Excruciating just means to a high degree, especially if it involves pain or something like that. Are you in pain? Yes, the pain is excruciating. It is severe pain. I don't know how I can go on living.
Yeah, I'm in excruciating pain. I think that's probably the word we use when the pain's the worst we've ever felt. Excruciating. You can't stand it. And he was in a lot of mental pain, too. You can also be embarrassed, and you can use excruciating to talk about being embarrassed. Or maybe you've been on a bad date, and your friend goes, oh, how was it? And you could say, it was excruciating, which means it was slow and agonizing. So excruciating is a great word to learn. I recommend it. Mm. So Dr. All, because he, you know, found out that he couldn't move or function for a while because of the pain, while he was in great pain, he would turn on his camera instead of trying to climb out. He would just take a break, turn on his camera, and reflect on the situation. When you use reflect on, it just means you're thinking deeply about something. And here, he was actually thinking about it and sharing his thoughts and his feelings on camera.
Right. Sometimes when we write in our diaries, we might reflect on our lives. Gee, what am I doing? Am I making the right decisions by going to university here? Or maybe I should take a year off and work and make some money or something. You kind of just step back and look at the situation. And so he's sitting there going, boy, that was a really dumb thing to do, to fall into this crevasse and not bring my headlamp. And I forgot my phone. And, oh, boy, am I dumb. And I'm a professor with 16 degrees. And I still did something dumb like this. I'm just guessing on
You know,
what
he had
said.
His camera, but he didn't have his phone. Bring your phone before you bring your camera, your video camera,
Yeah, at least he could document it for us. And although he knew it would be easier to admit defeat, All eventually scrambled through the hole above. So he thought, this is a hopeless situation. I don't know how the heck I'm ever going to get out of here. I'm in excruciating pain. I've got 16 broken bones. Well, he probably didn't know how many bones he had broken at the point there.
No.
But in any case, he knew it was a bad situation. He thought, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to lay here and wait till I fall asleep and die. But no, he didn't give up. He did not admit defeat. He eventually scrambled through the hole above. Here we have scrambled as a verb. To scramble just kind of means to move quickly but awkwardly in a certain direction. You could be scrambling up a slope or over ground or something like that. So he basically put in the final effort and said, I've got to do it. Now it's all or nothing. I need to do this if I hope to survive.
Scramble is very similar to that word clamber that we looked at earlier, but we'll use scramble a lot more. Scramble to get to class in time, meaning you're running, you're going really fast. We scramble our eggs in the morning when we mix the yolk and the white part together.
Mm-hmm.
So he scrambled through that hole. It says it took an additional 3 hours to climb back to his tent. I'm impressed that he could move at all, being in that much pain. It says he did manage to crawl back to his tent, where he spent an agonizing night waiting for the rescue helicopter. At that point, he had access to his phone, so I'm sure he called, and that brought the rescue helicopter to him. Agonizing, again, is a great word. If it's very, very painful, it can be mental pain or physical pain, both. Sometimes we'll talk about people dying and agonizing death. Sometimes if they have really bad cancer and there's a lot of pain involved to the very end. Agonizing also seems to give me the feeling of being slow, slow and agonizing.
And he had broken so many bones and dislocated his shoulder blade, and there's no doctor around, so that must have been very, very painful there, waiting for that rescue helicopter, which would come in the morning. Incredibly, or unbelievably, All was able to record his remarkable luck in surviving not one, but two Himalayan tragedies. Not one, but two. The first one was that avalanche, and now his falling into the crevasse. So, yes, he was able to record this remarkable luck. It's something worth noting, and to witness his miraculous survival and those of many others for yourself, check out Discoveries Still Alive this November, which is what it is right now. November, check out your local listings. To witness just means to see something for yourself.
With your own eyes, right? And sometimes people will go to court, there'll be a case, and you will be called to be a witness or give your witness, which means that you give your testimony and you tell people what happened. Miraculous is related to the word miracle, which means something almost unbelievable happened. Miraculous, of course, is the adjective form. It almost seems like it happened because of divine power. Maybe God blessed him. To witness his miraculous survival, to see it for yourself, you're going to have to tune in. But if you tune in November, you're going to be able to see Discovery's show, Still Alive.
Right on. Okay, everybody, that's it for today. Listen carefully one more time to the Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续来看这个博士，他当时很不小心的就掉到，直接坠落到一个裂缝里。好，可是这就是结束了吗？还没，我们往下读。他说他呢，其实右肩胛骨脱落，有16处的骨折。可是 to make matters worse， 好，这个片语当然就是更糟糕的。好，讲更糟糕的，我们还有一个常用片语就是 what's worse。可是注意到 to 不定词，它其实有很多的片语都是用不定词的 to 开头，然后这样形成一种转折语气、转折词，在文章里面做上下语义的承接。哎，比较常用的，比如说 to be sure， 更确切的，或者是 to be brief， 简单来说 ，to make a long story short， 哎，长话短说 ，to sum up。总而言之，好，这几个片语都一样，他们都是用不定词的 to 开头，所以特别留意像这样的转折词的使用。再来，我们往下看，下面呢，说到最糟糕的，当然就是他随身没有带他的卫星电话，也没有带他的头灯，这可怎么办呢？所以下一段就告诉大家他怎么样的用尽各种办法，然后最后能够在这个灾难当中幸存。好，这里说到 Every time he found it too mentally and physically excruciating to continue， 这句里头注意到 found 后面的 it， it 是一个虚受词，他讲某件事情实在是精神上、身体上都过于痛苦，这件事就是指后面的不定词 to continue， 他实在没办法再继续前进了。当他发现是这样的时候，这个情境的时候，他呢就怎么样，他就打开摄影机，然后把它记录下来。好，最后我们再来看后面他提到他最后爬回了帐篷，然后爬回帐篷之后，来逗点有一个 where， 注意到 where he spent an agonizing night waiting for the rescue helicopter， 这个 where 它是一个关系副词，指的就是他在帐篷里 in the tent。 好，我们今天讲解到这里结束，我们下次见。
Thanks for joining us, guys. We hope you all get a chance to tune in to Discoveries Still Alive and see some of these amazing, miraculous events where people were near death but escaped death at the last minute. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.